Hi, I'm Nathan, and I play the rageful half-orc barbarian Reek. Thanks for listening to the Roleplay Replay podcast.
Previously on Roleplay Replay.
Rivals reunited. When last we left our heroes, finally past the slippery slopes of the fungal garden, the gang proceeds deeper into the subterranean tunnels. Moving wearily through a room overrun with bats, they stumble upon a cavern filled with decomposing meat hanging from the ceiling. The remnants of an encampment now deserted. Searching for a path forward, the heroes divert around a fetid waste pit, and Guy nearly finds himself impaled by a trap in the ground, saved only by Mir's quick reaction. After sneaking past a chasm filled with adolescent drakes, the band safely traverses a booby-trapped staircase. But big-ass furbolgs tend to be loud, and they find themselves confronted by a room full of kobolds. After a short battle, all of the kobolds die, because that's what they do. The spelunking band of heroes traverse deeper underground and find their way into a large cavern where they quickly dispatch of an overconfident, flail-wielding human and a group of flying cultists. After several failed attempts to open a simple hatch, Guy is yanked through by none other than Langdragosa Cyanwrath, alive, well, and pissed off. One by one, the heroes make their way through the hatch. There's some confusion about a rope ladder, and the half-blue dragon finally dies once and for all. Maybe. After some very profitable looting, the group of heroes find their way to a very unusual room, blocked off by an iron gate. On the other side of the gate stands a small gnome wearing a blue waistcoat and a human woman who perfectly resembles our hero's new friend, Britta. After a long and difficult search, have our heroes finally found Ernest the Clockmaker? If so, what information can he provide? Are the dragon eggs somewhere deeper in the cave? With their newly acquired map, can the heroes stop more towns from being invaded? But most importantly, how will Reek react if the woman standing before our heroes is the real Britta? Find the answers on episode 13 of Tyranny of Dragons.
Excellent. That's good timing, man. It's good timing.
It's like he's a musician or something.
What? What is that?
All right, everybody. Let's see if we can pick up where we left off. Approaching this rounded wall and finding an opening where you're able to proceed down a stairway and this iron cage that's around you, and these two figures that approach, Mir leading the way, Reek standing behind her. Reek, the history check that you rolled last week, I'm not sure if we did it on stream or not, but the history check that you rolled last week was good enough to allow you to recognize that this woman, whomever she is, she appears to be wearing exactly what Britta was wearing when you rescued her. They approach the bottom of the stairs where there is an iron cage wrapping around. And as they run up, the woman says rather ferociously,
"Hurry, open this door. You've got to get us out of here."
What do you do?
I turn around and I just look at Reek.
Britta?
So, The woman looks down at the small figure and looks up. Yes? What? We've got to get out! Open the door! Come on, what are you standing around for?
How long have you guys been down here?
I'm not sure. I don't know how long it's been. I haven't slept.
And you see the small figure, hands are sort of bound, in front of the figure there, but he has like a deep gag in the mouth. Doesn't seem to be looking at Britta or you. Mir and Reek both make perception checks.
Okay, it's plus one, so 21.
Okay.
It's a natural 20.
A 20 for Reek.
Okay. So a natural 20 for Mir, a 20 for Reek. Okay. So you guys look and you see the gnome. He's really uncomfortable, you can see with the perception check. His eyes are sort of flitting around, and he's trying not to look at any one thing for very long. Doesn't seem to be trying to make sound or go for his bindings or anything. The woman seems genuinely panicked and not super able to answer your questions. Mir, with that roll, I need you to go ahead and make an investigation check.
19 plus 7.
I'm sorry, did you say 19 plus 7?
Yes.
Okay. So, as this woman has run up to the cage, turning around and looking at Reek has not stopped you from surveying the situation. And there's a couple of things that you notice. First of all, this door has two locks. One on your side, one on the other side. And as she runs up to the cage and stops, like a piece of equipment or like a strap or something seems to sort of almost like appear out of her garment and like slaps into the cage, and then it goes back in into the garment, and you don't see it anymore.
Is she touching the cage?
She did not touch the cage. She just ran up really close to it and like stopped short. She's holding the gnome by like under the arm kind of and pulling him along. His hands are bound in front of him. You do notice that as that like piece of whatever kind of swings, like it seems like he notices that too.
I'm going to look at the gnome, and I'm going to say, Willis, are you all right? Is he all right?
He sort of looks a little puzzled at you for just a moment.
Okay. Does she react?
He looks a little puzzled at you for a moment and sort of slowly kind of nods his head. She does not react to that. She is still talking to Reek because Reek questioned her directly.
Okay. I'm going to look at her and I'm going to say, why is he bound? Why aren't you bound?
She says, I slipped my bonds. I am not as skilled as he, and they didn't want him touching anything unnecessarily. I don't know, but I grabbed him so that we could get out of here.
So take them off of him.
I don't know. I don't know if I can.
You took yours off.
Here, slide your hand into this. I have a key, and I'll give it to you for the other side. Slide your hand through the bars.
She sort of walks up toward the cage and starts to like reach her hand through. As she starts to reach her hand toward the cage, you hear from the western side of the chamber an odd sound, almost like a cracking sound. And from over there, an intense flash of light fills the crystalline cavern. The smell of ozone instantly intensifies. As you look that way, those of you who can see, something like a ball of lightning erupts spontaneously into existence. White and blue lightning begins spitting and arcing from the top of a metallic cage, like a giant birdcage sitting upon a short stone plinth. Within the cage, what appears to be a small storm cloud begins to swirl, flashing and undulating upon itself. From the top of the cage, the lightning arcs downward, retracing the same precise path. The afterimage immediately burned into your vision makes it difficult to see, but the arcs repeatedly strike to either side of the cage, arcing over and over toward small stone pillars topped with glowing blue orbs. As this happens and the light starts to flash, some of the soft glows around the room extinguishing as this glow starts to erupt from the western side of the room, this figure shoves the gnome away, and you hear her sort of start to chuckle as she basically runs off into the darkness. But as she pushes the gnome away, Mir, a small object flies through the cage. As you watch the gnome reach out and grab her and cling onto her for a moment and throw something through the bars at you.
I catch it.
Make an acrobatics check to see if you do.
Not 20.
What the hell?
23.
Plus 3.
Natural 20. All right, Mir, as you reach out, you see in your hand another small key. It seems to be about the same size as the one that you took off the hook and carried down the stairs with you.
Okay, so it's locked on both sides, correct?
It is.
Okay, I'm going to turn around and hand one key to Reek and say, unlock this while I do, and I'm going to sort of come around the other side with my hand with the key that Ernest gave me and try to unlock the door.
Okay. So, as you guys both sort of position yourselves and work on it, let's have you both make a dexterity check. Just roll d20 and add your dex.
22.
8.
So, Mir, you see quickly that, like, Reek's hand is not going to fit around to the other side. So, you fiddle with it for a moment and figure out, like, which key works on which side. Mir is able ultimately to reach through and take care of the one on the outside. But Reek, you work on the lock on the inside, and between the two of you, you do get the door open, all right? So then as you are able to step out into the room, it appears to be largely dark. But there is a flickering and sputtering light coming from the western side of the room.
Would you like us to go down into the room now, or do you want us to?
I'm going to turn back and look at the group like, did you guys fucking see that?
Guy, like, reaches over, like, like around, he, like, grabs Finn's shoulder and, like, peeks over it, because he hasn't been able to see anything so far, and he, like, peeks and he's like, what? What the fuck is that?
Maybe we should go check it out.
Yeah, I would like to, but, is it okay, guys, if we go forward?
Yeah, let's all stay together.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I'd like to come talk to Ernest, if that's all right. Just run over to him. I'm a little nervous, though.
So, as you guys step down into the room, you hear another sound, like a clicking from over here, and sort of a mechanical and something like another small glow pops out of the darkness. And as you especially you guys that are approaching that way, I need all of you to roll initiative.
Yeah.
All of us?
All of you.
Thank you. 16.
7 for Oz.
6 for Guy.
8 for Reek.
10 for Finn. 5 for Mercy.
23 for Falmar.
That's Reek, Guy, Falmar, Finn, Mercy, Mir. Cool, cool, cool. Okay. All right, so Falmar, you actually go first. What would you like to do?
So this is the first time I actually am seeing anything in the room. Do I see everything that you just described for everyone else, or am I kind of taken aback?
I think that you stepping into this room, coming from the back of the group, I think you have no idea what you're looking at. You see this, you see everything that I just described, and you probably are kind of taken aback. But the initiative that we just rolled is going to represent that you're all in a heightened state of alertness.
All right. So the first, these are, look like eggs as the icons. So I'm thinking Falmar just assumes those are eggs, and he's going to try to just destroy them. So he's going to run up here to there and just start attacking this thing.
Falmar, as you start to move, I need you to make a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. 19.
Okay. So then as you pass through this square, you sense some sort of magical threat that was present there, but you managed to avert it. So, but as you move, you actually run past a couple of other entities, some of which I think are going to get attacks of opportunity against you. The woman that looks like Britta lashes out at you with a dagger. That's going to be a 21 to hit.
That definitely hits.
So that's going to be 6 points of piercing damage. And then,
okay.
And then this fellow here, I'm actually going to say that he was not in position, but you would have seen these people as you ran by. They successfully hid, but your travel path makes it possible for you to see them. Okay, so you move through, and yes, as you approach this pylon here, it does look like it's some sort of an egg as you get that close, and it is glowing. Each time the lightning strikes it, it seems to glow a brighter blue. Would you still like to? Well, what would you like to do now that you've seen it and you see what it looks like?
I'm gonna hit it.
Go ahead, roll your attack.
What I would really like to do is like pick it up and throw it on the ground behind me so that it is not as close as it is to the
Okay.
lightning.
So as you approach, it's pretty big. I mean, like, it is not as big as you are, but it is much bigger than you expected, like, an egg would be.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess I'll just hit it.
Okay, you can do that.
So, natural one for my first attack.
So, on the first one, as you reach out toward it, this seems kind of difficult. Like, it's going to be really hard to get in there and try to do this. Especially difficult to do it and not take damage.
Okay. In that case, he's going to follow up with a second attack by trying to stomp on it.
It is on a stone pedestal.
Oh, well, then he's not going to do that. That was total of a 9.
Okay. So the egg is much tougher than you thought. You do manage to slip something in there before the lightning can strike you, and you don't take any damage, but you also don't damage the egg. All right. Now on initiative count 20, We have lair actions. As you guys look around in this room, suddenly a small representation of the storm that you see inside the cage appears outside the cage in those squares. Next up, this fellow that did not strike at you, Falmar, you watch him as he moves over toward this pillar and takes some cover by it. He's gonna take some tools out of a pouch and a couple of pieces of wood out of a pocket and start like hammering on something. And the next thing you know, in the square next to him, a small four-legged machine of some kind starts to walk around the room. And then, so that's his bonus action. He will then hold up a hand towards you and with his action target you with a firebolt. That's going to be a 24 to hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be 5 points of damage.
Okay.
With a firebolt. Okay. The strange woman that looks like Britta right now is going to move next. She moves over in this direction, actually towards you, Falmar. You notice, Falmar, as she approaches, this small construct behind her pulses with some sort of pale green energy, and it seems to imbue her and the other two figures that you saw with some sort of energy, though you can't be sure what it is. And she lashes out at you again with her dagger. That is a 9 on the dice. Does a 11 hit you? Okay, so she lashes out with the dagger and misses, and you watch as they're all imbued with some sort of energy. That'll be her turn. Okay, this one, as you look, this fellow steps out of the shadow over here. And striding out, Falmar, you're the closest one. But all of you that can see him, you notice he has some sort of... his complexion is, like, blue. And as he looks out across all of you, you see him sort of... ready in action and just hold. Mir, you're up next. What would you like to do?
When I walked down here, I didn't know any of that stuff was over there, so I walked over toward Ernest, so it makes sense I would stay here. And so I think I'm going to take my dagger and cut his bonds if I can.
Okay.
Yep. And try to take his thing off his face. I don't know if that's okay. A bonus action or an action. That's
what I'd like. We'll just call it your action is to cut the bonds. Taking the gag off his face is just a free interaction.
Okay, and so I'm going to say, if you have any tips, now's the time to tell me. Since he's next.
We gotta shut down that Faraday cage! That's gonna cook us all!
How?
Okay, so then it's his turn. He says, I don't know, but we'll figure it out, come on! And he starts to move. And you see him interacting. Well, actually, I'm not sure any of you can see him. So he kind of ducks around behind that pillar. And that brings us around to Finn. Finn, what would you like to do?
I guess I will move closer to blue-skinned dude.
Okay.
Sorry, Mercy makes it weird. I'm going to stay there. So kind of away from him, but enough to hit him.
Okay.
And I'm going to pull out my mace and attempt to hit him with it.
Okay.
That's 23.
Yeah, that definitely hits. That definitely hits. Go ahead and roll your damage.
All right. 8 points of damage.
Okay. As you hit him, this, like, greenish it's almost like there's like a skin of energy around him that flashes like green, and it doesn't seem like that hit really hurt him very much, but that energy, whatever it was, is gone.
Okay. And that's all I'll do.
Okay. All right, so then Reek, it's your turn. What would you like to do?
All right, I'm going to try and make my way down to the action. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, and I'm going to go here, 30.
Okay.
And then I'm going to, with Cyan Wrath's sword, take a swing at Britta.
Okay.
9.
Okay, so as you swing with the sword, she, oh, you know what? You have advantage because she's engaged with Falmar right now.
Thank you, DM.
Just playing by the rules.
13.
Okay, so a 13 unfortunately just misses. As you swing, she sort of catches a glimpse and dodges out of the way, and she looks at you and
is this personal for you?
No.
Okay. Is that all you want to do, Reek?
Yeah, sorry, that's my turn.
Okay. Oz, it's your turn. What would you like to do?
So I can kind of see what's happening from my point of view. I'm going to head 5, 10, 15, 20. Oh, jeez. And I'm going to hang back here, and okay. I'm going to pull out my scroll of Cure Wounds, second level. I'm going to cast it on Falmar.
So unfortunately, that is a touch spell.
I'm not going to do that, and I didn't mean it at all.
Okay.
I'm just going to shoot a produced flame at the nearest enemy. I'm going to shoot at this blue person.
Okay.
So that's going to be 20 to hit.
That will definitely hit. So close to a natural 20, Oz.
Yeah, and that's 3 fire damage.
Okay. So Finn, you watch as Oz's fireball slams into this blue figure in front of you. And it takes the damage. Oz, would you like to do anything else?
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and throw a Bomb of the Summer Court on Falmar.
Okay.
So that's a D6. So 4 hit points and 1 temporary hit point. And I'm gonna yell, "Don't die."
How much was it?
So you heal for 4, and you also gain 1 temporary hit point.
Woo! Thanks.
All right. So then, Oz, if that's all, it'll be all. Guy's turn. All right, Guy, you're up. What would you like to do?
Okay, I'm going to draw Shatter Spike in my battle axe. I'm going to move.
There is a small construct in that space.
Oh, yes, that's right.
You are not able to move through it.
That's right. I will stay there then, where I was.
Okay.
There. I'm going to hit Blue Dude with Shatter Spike. First.
Moving into that space, there is a small desk behind you up against the column there. You notice it moving in.
Okay. It doesn't obstruct me moving in, though?
It does not. It's small.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Just letting you know.
Cool. Thank you. Yep. Gonna try to hit Blue Dude.
Okay.
Do I have advantage on it or no?
You do.
20 to hit total.
That definitely hits. Roll your damage. And he has already taken damage.
Yes, he has. 10 damage total, including Colossus Slayer.
Okay, 10 damage.
And then I'll try to hit him with the Battle Axe as well.
Okay.
Still same situation with advantage. Does it work for both offhand as well?
It does. You just don't get to do your Colossus Slayer damage again.
Yeah, only 13 to hit.
Okay, so 13 unfortunately does not hit.
Cool. And I'll stay right here.
Okay. So then, Finn, that's going to make it Mercy's turn.
She is going to stay put for now.
Okay. So. Sounds good. So that brings us back around to Falmar. Just so you guys know, too, I did spend some time with it this week, and you're back to being able to edit your own hit point bars, okay? So that brings us back around to Falmar. Falmar, what would you like to do?
I'm in danger, so I'm going to turn and hit the fake Britta.
Okay.
That is a 21 to hit.
And nice. You do have advantage.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Reek. That is a natural one, so I'm going to go with the 21.
That definitely hits. Go ahead and roll your damage.
That is a, what is that, plus 4, I think? Plus 4, so 10 damage.
Okay, so as you punch her, that whatever that green that you saw that sort of seemed to shroud all of them, you punch it and it sort of flashes and just dissipates. And then you see it connect and she kind of looks at you with like some surprise. When you hit her, you feel hair whip across your hand where there is no hair. You do not see hair, but you feel it whip across your hand.
Interesting. Okay. That's not the real Britta, I shot at Reek. And then I hit her again. And that's 15 on both dice. It's amazing. So, 21 again.
Okay, that will hit. So go ahead and roll your damage.
5 damage.
5 points of damage, okay?
Mm-hmm. And then, I'm going to take the dodge action.
You've attacked. So, unless you're going to... Are you spending key? Are you able to do that if you spin key? I'm not sure how that works exactly.
I'm going to look into it, but I'll wait on that.
Okay, cool. It's called patient defense, but I'm not sure if you have to spend an action or a bonus action.
As a bonus action, yeah.
Okay, so that will be your offhand in the future. Awesome.
Cool.
All right, so then we have another lair action. So you all watch as another storm forms over near Ernest. This fellow is going to swing over toward this table, reach out and pick up a small flask, and say, "Oh, you like fire, do you?" and throw it at you, Oz. That's a 9.
Nope.
So you watch as this flask like collides with the column to your north. And it splashes across in this like of fire that just instantly seems to dissipate as it hits it, and it can't burn. At that point, you see him look back toward this this crazy machine. The machine will start to walk and climb up this pedestal about 10 feet. Reek, as it sort of passes technically out of melee with you, it would provoke an attack of opportunity if you wish.
Always.
All right.
20 to hit.
That will hit. Go ahead and roll damage.
Sorry, no, that's supposed to be 2d6.
Okay.
9 plus 5, 14.
14 points of damage. Same kind of a deal. You watch as the green energy around it completely dissipates and you feel sword sink into wood. As it climbs up onto the pedestal, it targets Guy. That's going to be a 17 to hit.
Just hits.
All right, Guy. You take 13 points of piercing damage and you are pushed 5 feet back into this square. As a giant, like, ballista bolt of what looks like energy flies through the air and slams into you, just pushing you back from this small construct about the size of, like, a doll. A ballista bolt, like what you shot at the dragon in the top of the keep, slams into you. So now... the Britta that Falmar has indicated as being the fake Britta. I need everyone in this square to make a dexterity saving throw.
It's 19 for Oz.
7 for Finn.
5 for Guy.
7 for Reek.
Okay, so Oz, you recognize this, and as such, you're able to sort of anticipate it as you watch as fairy fire leaps to life around your allies. Can we get a dex save for Mercy as well, please?
Yeah. Sorry.
No problem.
9.
All of you are limbed with like brilliant tongues of purplish flame that seems to like dance across your shape. And then she takes a quick look over at this small construct. It kind of moves toward her, stepping through her space, staying in melee with you, Reek, although your reaction is currently spent. You watch as this green energy pulses from it again and then falls upon Falmar. And Falmar, you gain 12 temporary hit points. And you hear the guy that threw the flask at Oz. He says, "Damn it, Kala! Your protector's healing the wrong people again!" And she says, "Well, you're the one that installed the targeting scripts, so I don't want to hear it." And then the alchemist with like the blue skin, he's going to disengage from you, Reek, and start to float into the air about 15 feet. And that'll be Mir's turn.
DM question.
Yes.
Am I allowed to, like, as my action, ask Ernest to lead me to something? You know,
so
like,
on his turn, he walked away. So you would have to close on him. It wouldn't be an action, but I mean, if you want to follow Ernest, you can follow him and talk to him.
Like, what I'm hoping to, like, because he's going to go do something, but I don't know what he's going to go do, and I wanted to assist him or help him.
Okay. Yeah, he said, "Follow me, we'll figure it out."
Cool. When he left. I wanna do that if that's all right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Approaching that, you that smell of ozone, your hair starts to stand on end, and as you kind of move through that storm, I need you to make a dex save.
And then I think plus 3, but my character sheet.
So that's a 17 total on your dex save. Actually, I think it's going to be a 19 because I believe you're proficient in dexterity saves. So that's a success. So you're going to take 3 points of lightning damage as you move through this small storm that seems to be swirling in this space. And now you can continue your move.
And I move one more space and I'm going to say lead on him, and I'm going to go do what he wants me to do.
So as you get back there, you see he kind of recoils back and he's like, "Well, I was trying to get to my desk, but then this damn storm showed up." And he's like reaching in there and trying to get to some tools on his desk. You see him kind of just go for it, and he's going to make a dex save to try to be able to get to it. He fails. So he takes he gets cooked pretty bad.
Oh God. Can I
He's still alive, but he gets cooked pretty bad. He's like, "Oh shit. Okay. We just got to get close to it." And he like runs this way cuz he sees the fairy fire dancing on the ground. "We got to get close to it. I'm taking the long way." And he's trying to figure it out.
Oh God.
Oh wait, it's still your turn. I'm sorry. Well, no. You were interacting with Ernest, and he goes next, so I got a little ahead of myself. Finish your turn, please.
I'm quite literally trying to figure out a way to help Ernest, because I have a feeling he's going to be the key to disarming this dish.
Okay.
So I would have done what you just did. I'm here for him, like whatever he needs.
Okay, cool. So in that case, you've moved. I'll say you kind of see him grabbing for some tools, and there's a couple of more like vials of some kind on his desk that you could reach in and grab if you want to. Okay. And having already saved from this storm, you won't take damage from it again.
Okay, so I grab them, and mm-hmm. I have them in my hand.
You're in a hurry. Can't be sure exactly what they are. Some tinkering tools, a couple of vials of some kind, but it looks like what he just grabbed, too.
Okay, cool. And, okay. I don't know what happens next.
Okay. So he is going to, on his turn, reach in, grab, get shocked by the lightning, and then seeing the fairy fire on the ground and all the stuff that's happening, he's actually going to say, we're going to have to take the long way around. And he just is trying to find a safe way to get through this room. Oz, he sort of seems like he wants to maybe head through where you are.
I'm not going to stop him.
Okay.
He could probably fit between my legs.
Yeah, he kind of darts through your legs, kind of trying to avoid the storms, and he's very tentative about stepping on the fairy fire, but he sees once he does, and as you knew would happen, that it doesn't affect him. So he starts to move in that way, and that's as far as that's as far as he can move. So that'll bring us back to Finn. Finn, you see this sort of like frazzled, hair smoking, like soot faced little gnome like dart through Oz's feet, and he's got like these tools in his hands and one big flask, and he looks really determined as he steps up behind you, but he also looks a little crispy.
Alright. Just kind of look at him and nod. So I have my shield out. I am just going to take the mallet from the back and go ding and cast Toll the Dead.
Targeting the fellow up in the air there in front of you?
So I kind of thought it was an AoE thing. So if it, I point at one creature, so I'm going to be like this. And then
okay.
Yes. So then
okay.
I target the dude in the air.
Okay. So that is that a wisdom save?
Yes.
13. Okay, thanks. Okay. So that's going to be +3 on this roll. So that's a 19.
Then he saves.
Okay. Would you like to do anything with your bonus action?
Yes, I would. So I'm going to send Mercy. She'll go on her turn.
Okay.
And I want to have... She's with me. I want to have her prepared with Spare the Dying.
Okay. Understood. All right. So you're preparing Spare the Dying, but you're going to have Mercy deliver it.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Then that will bring it around to Reek. Reek, what would you like to do?
Taking that great sword, taking another swing at Britta.
Okay.
Fuck. 10. Wait, with advantage. Hang on. 10 total. What
okay.
The fuck?
So she's sort of dancing around, looking at you, dodging your attacks, and she seems to be paying a lot more attention to this small crystalline construct in the space in front of her, whatever that is, than she is to you. All right. Anything else you want to do, Reek?
No, I'll just go ahead and miss her, and that would be my turn.
All right. Oz, what would you like to do?
So I see this guy fly up in the air, and I'm going to go ahead and launch a flame at him.
Okay. Do it.
All right. D20 plus 6. All right. It's an 18 to hit, or sorry, 24 to hit.
That definitely hits. Roll your damage.
That's going to be a D8. So, 4 damage.
Okay. 4 points of damage. All right. Guy? Oh, anything else, Oz, with your bonus action or movement or anything?
can't use a scroll. No, I'm done.
Okay. Guy, what would you like to do?
Oh, man. I'm going to move. Yeah, I'm going to go over to Britta. We're going to man up. We're going to man up on this.
Okay.
And I'm going to put Hunter's Mark on her, please.
All right.
Britta. Fake Britta. Whatever. And then I'm going to try to hit her with Shatter Spike.
Go for it.
Do I have advantage? I do, right?
No. Not in this current...
It's okay. 17 to hit.
That will hit. Go ahead and roll your damage.
And she has taken damage.
She has.
18 damage.
18 points of damage. Okay. She's got to roll a concentration check. I'm going to do it on the table just for funsies. All right. She's got plus four to the roll. She's got plus four to the roll and advantage. That is a 9, which means she fails concentration, and all of you that had fairy fire no longer have fairy fire afflicting you. All right, guy, go ahead and make your offhand attack now.
11.
All right, so 18 points of damage on the first attack, and then an 11 to hit.
That's right.
Okay, unfortunately, that 11 will miss.
Word.
All right. That brings us around to Mercy.
Oh, actually, can I still have movement speed left. Can I move? Is that okay?
Potentially, depending on where you want to go.
Oh, I'm going to guess. No, I'm going to stay there. That's fine. It's fine.
Okay, cool. So then Mercy.
So Mercy is going to fly up, and she is... I mean, I guess she's not smart enough to know that nobody's dead, but she's going to land on Guy.
Okay.
She's going to perch on his head like she does.
Yeah.
And she's just going to kind of swivel her head looking for injured friends.
Okay.
And that's going to be her turn.
Okay. Okay. Cool. So just mechanically how that will work. When we come back around to your turn, if you still haven't used that, then you lose it. But it's a cantrip, so
yes.
Good to go? Cool.
Good to go.
All right. Falmar, you are up. What would you like to do? Sorry, what was that?
I said bitch. But okay. I'm going to attack her.
Okay.
All right. That is 17 on the die plus 6.
That's going to hit. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Bring her down.
So I said I was going to roll on the book. I rolled an 8 on the table, so I'm rolling on the book.
Okay.
And that is a 1 plus 4, so at least I'm honest. 5 total on that one?
5 points of damage?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sorry.
So then you still have your bonus action?
Bonus action. Oh, yeah. I'm going to move after, I think, but I'm going to attack again.
Okay.
Ooh, nat 20.
Okay.
So that's 4 plus 4 plus 4. That's 12 points of damage.
Okay. So as you strike her, you watch as instantly her wardrobe that looks like a village woman's dress transforms into much more sort of like tactical armor, bandoliers. She has a couple of sheaths and things, but the illusion of her appearance completely drops. The appearance of her face changes more slowly as she falls. You watch as from the tips of the red hair, a vibrant, almost luminescent white begins to climb toward the roots. From the eyes, the green slowly fades like water draining from a funnel. But it doesn't run down the eyes or down the face. Rather, it just disappears two pure white orbs, identical to the white climbing her hair. It's not a hollow, dead white, but a white filled with energy and untainted by any color whatsoever. A blank canvas of sort. And then there are deep-rimmed dark eye sockets and sharp, striking cheekbones. The ears elongate into delicate points, with the whole form covered in pale skin with light purple highlights. You watch as she changes in appearance completely and falls unconscious to the floor. What else would you like to do, Falmar?
I'm going to move up to here in case that thing heals again.
Okay. Sure. All right. So after Falmar, we have lair actions. As the Faraday device, well, the birdcage with a lightning storm in it continues arcing. Another one forms here. Okay, and that will bring up this fellow. He's starting to look a little panicked. Seeing Ernest skirt between your legs, Oz, he raises a hand and targets him with a firebolt. That's a 14, so that's 20 to hit. So Ernest takes 2 points of damage, which is enough to knock him unconscious. You watch as Ernest falls on the ground. And then the turret starts to climb down the other side of this stalactite.
Is it possible for Mercy to go cast Spare the Dying on him?
It's not possible for Mercy to do it because she has to move on her turn. Can you cast Spare the Dying as a reaction?
No, it's a bonus action.
Okay.
For me.
It's also a ranged spell for you, though.
Oh.
So with that, seeing Ernest fall, he just kind of looks up and points at you, Oz, and this turret takes aim at you. And you see this burst of, like, blue radiant energy in the shape of a giant ballista bolt fly through the air at you. That is a 26 to hit.
Very hits.
You take 7 points of piercing damage, and you are pushed 5 feet back out of the space that you were in. All right, so this alchemist reaches down to his belt with his bonus action. You see him pull a potion and drink it. Receives a bit of healing. With that, when quote-unquote Britta fell at your feet, you watched as the crystal turret actually sort of starts to blink and flicker. And then the light kind of goes out on it. So that was his bonus action. With his action, he is going to... Oh, he's got all these people around him. With his action... Actually, you watch as he sort of casts a spell over himself. Can't be quite sure exactly what it is. But that'll be his turn. Mir, it's your turn. What would you like to do?
Okay. Let's see. I would like to... Am I allowed to look at the stuff that I have with my bonus action? You told me I had things in my hand, but you didn't say...
You have tools in your hands that you're proficient with, and as you're moving, you can kind of check them out. You don't really have time to, like, stop and, lose yourself in trying to figure out what this is.
Okay, so Ernest went up that way. He says we have to go around. So I'm going to walk toward the device.
Okay.
And I can't end on the space where Guy is, but can I see anything from where I am, like, that I would want to, like, go mess with?
Make a perception check. With advantage.
+1. So it's 13.
Looking over, you do see, as you get closer to the cage, what looks to be a number of like lightning rods kind of sticking off of it. And inside the cage, there doesn't appear to be any object or anything other than this big swirling cloud spinning around inside of it. And it seems to be sort of growing.
Okay. And I'm assuming that was my action. Do I still have a bonus action or did I waste that?
You do. You have a bonus action.
Am I allowed to, with my bonus action, throw one of my daggers at this blue dude?
So unfortunately not. The bonus action attack, you have to use your action to attack.
Okay.
Okay.
Then I'm going to, I guess, ready my weapons. I don't know. I can okay. do that. That's it.
Okay. Cool. On Ernest's turn, he's going to make a death save. That's a 13, so Ernest passes. One death save. All right, Finn, it's your turn. What would you like to do?
All right. How far did he fly up?
He is just out of, like, melee reach.
All right. Crap. So, since he's out of melee, does that mean I can move and he not get an attack of opportunity?
Yes. Yes, it does.
All right. I'm going to move there.
Okay.
And as a bonus action, I will cast, not Spare the Dying, Spiritual Weapon.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. I take this back. I'm not going to do that as a bonus action. As a bonus action, I will cast Spare the Dying on Ernest.
Okay.
He's stable.
So you guys look over and you watch as Finn looks back at Ernest, and what looks almost like a shadow of Mercy flies off of Finn's shoulder, where Mercy is not, and flying just a few feet away, lands and vanishes into Ernest, and you watch as he takes a breath, but his eyes remain closed, and he lies still on the ground. So Ernest is stable. He will no longer be rolling death saves, but he is unconscious. Will you roll a d4, Finn?
3.
So Ernest is stable, and will wake up in 3 hours.
All right, and now I would like to attack him with my mace.
Attack the guy in front of you, not Ernest, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Sorry.
No problem.
It's not great.
Okay.
It's 8.
It's an 8, yes. Unfortunately, an 8 is going to miss. As you notice now, as you get closer, there's some sort of weird, like, wooden, almost like really big four-legged spider-looking thing that's, like, clacking around on the stalactite above your head. It's a weird thing.
So I do want to finish moving to right there, if that's okay.
Okay, no problem.
And that is where I will end my turn.
Okay. Reek, you're up. What would you like to do?
I have a couple questions.
Sure.
The thing, the turret, how high up is it?
It is about 10 feet up off the ground. It started to work its way down last turn. If you move into that space, I would say that you could probably attack it.
I'm going to do that then. I'm going to move up.
Okay.
Are you saying move right there?
Yes, okay. That's where you would need to be in order to hit it.
Then I'll go there and I'll attack it.
Okay.
23 to hit.
That definitely hits. Though as you hit it, you're sort of struck by, like, this thing's more robust than you would imagine it being. So go ahead and roll your damage.
7. Fuck dice tonight.
So as your sword connects with it, it sinks deep into the wood, but it seems to have hit in an area that's not really important for movement or function. but you grievously chop it almost all the way through, but it kind of raises up whatever its face is and kind of looks at you, and it is still alive. Okay?
Okay. Then I'm going to move.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to move. Let's see what this thing does. I'm going to move to there.
Okay. It seems to just kind of follow you with like its face, but it does not launch a projectile at you.
Cool. That's my turn.
Okay. Oz, you're up. What would you like to do?
Would I know that if I heal a recently stabilized creature, if it would wake them up and or heal them?
I think you would know that. I think you would know there's a difference between stabilizing someone and healing them. Just because a person is stable, the body takes time to sort of regenerate. When you heal, you're immediately providing that spark.
Okay. I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to race over to the familiar form of a small gnome, unconscious on the ground. And I'm going to pull out my scroll of Cure Wounds, second level.
Okay.
And I would like to cast it on Ernest.
Okay.
And I can finally delete it from my inventory. It's been there for months. Okay, so let's see. That is 2d8 plus 4. It's going to be a total of 14.
Okay, so as you reach down and touch him, a bit of the sort of pink energy hue that you see when you commune with your fey spirits flows out of you and enshrouds Ernest's form. He immediately opens his eyes. Whoa, that's the good stuff! And he comes back to consciousness. And he's just lying there on the ground for now. Kind of sits up a little. What else would you like to do, Oz?
I'm just double checking. That counts as an action, right?
It does.
Okay, cool. I'm going to say, I'm glad you're well, and end my turn.
Okay. And that'll bring up Guy. Guy, what would you like to do?
Oh, man. Freaking
gnome. Mercy currently sitting on your head.
Okay. All right. I'm going to move Hunter's Mark onto Blue Dude.
Okay.
And I'm going to drop my battle axe and try to hit him with my longbow, if I can do that.
Okay, yes.
Does moving Hunter's Mark count as a bonus action?
It is your bonus action, yes. But okay. As you attack him, I need you to make a wisdom saving throw.
Yes, yep. 20!
Okay. So, there's some sort of... As you raise your bow up, you find yourself struggling a little with whether or not you really want to shoot this individual. It's a very brief pause.
Why do I feel this way?
But it's a moment of pause that it's not familiar to you, and it fades as quickly as it came on, and you just let fly with your arrow.
Let's hit him. Or let's not hit him.
Oh, no. What is it? Seven. Yeah. Unfortunately, a 7 is not going to get it done. I'm sorry.
Freaking dice tonight, man.
Yeah, you guys are struggling.
Okay, that's it.
Okay. So, you don't want to move or do anything else, Guy?
No. Okay. No.
Just going to stay put.
Yeah.
Okay, remember, the blue guy is flying up in the air.
Right. I just don't want to get closer to the ballista thing because I don't have much health.
Understood. Okay, cool. So then it'll be Mercy's turn. Mercy, what would you like to do?
Mercy's going to stay where she's at. She's happy.
Okay, cool. So then that'll bring up Falmar.
So I'm going to move back down to here after yelling, Mir, come get this thing! And pointing at the blue crystal thing.
Okay.
And run back down to that other, to the egg, and start trying to attack that.
Okay.
So that is an 18.
Okay, an 18 will just hit. So go ahead and throw your punch.
That's going to be 14.
14 points of damage?
Sorry, 12. 12 points of damage.
Okay, so you throw the punch and it collides and connects solidly. For one thing, it doesn't seem to do quite as much damage as you expected. And then when you hit it, you take 10 points of lightning damage.
Holy crap. Thank you for the temp points. I should actually be at 3, not 2, because I had one.
Temporary hit points don't stack, so it's 2.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, temporary hit points don't stack.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, you got it. Whatever temporary hit points you got most recently is what you have. So,
cool.
Do you want to do anything else with your turn? You still have a bonus action and some movement.
I'm just going to move back a little bit, thinking that my hair is all frazzled.
Okay. All right, cool. So then that will bring us to lair actions once again. Oz, you watch as another storm forms close by you. This one as close as any have been yet. So then that will bring up our friend over here that's engaged with Finn. He looks extremely frustrated and not sure how best to proceed. You see him hesitate, Finn. You see that he seems concerned. What was once an air of confidence has become not that. But he also still looks very healthy. As he moves around this way, the turret is going to climb down and put the stalactite between it and you, Finn. And it's going to stay put right there. The turret is going to target you, Reek. Oh, it was so close to being awesome. That's a 16 to hit.
That doesn't fucking hit. That doesn't fucking hit. Doesn't fucking hit. Doesn't fucking hit. Doesn't fucking hit.
Okay, so you watch as this as this glowing bolt just flies through the air and just passes through you. Doesn't do anything. And this fellow in front of you now, Finn, you hear him mutter under his breath, but you can't quite make out exactly what he says. And as he puts himself in this position, let's see, you watch. He kind of looks back in the direction of Oz. Oz, I need you to make a dexterity saving throw.
That would be a 22.
So, Oz, as you look back where that storm just formed, flying out of the storm comes a rock, like a projectile. It just flies by, and you just whoosh and just whiz your face out of the way. Reek, I need you to make a dexterity saving throw.
Natty one.
So, Reek, as the bolt flies through you and it has no effect, you hear and slamming into the back of your head is this large rock that came flying across the room that you were not paying attention to as you were being targeted by this crazy bolt from the turret. You take 19 points of bludgeoning damage from this rock as it flies through the air and slams into you. And that's going to be his turn. The alchemist is up. Okay, so you see him reach down to that belt again and pull out this other flask and start to drink it. Let's see. So as he drinks it, you watch as his movements seem to sort of start to speed up a bit. And he's going to start to descend, coming back down, and very quickly run in this direction. toward this desk up against this wall over here.
Do I get an attack of opportunity?
Anyone who wishes to make an attack of opportunity must first make a wisdom saving throw.
I will.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All of you, wisdom to throw.
All of you can do it, but you must pass a wisdom save first. All right, Mir.
Plus one.
Yeah.
Nice. Reek, okay.
Plus two.
Okay. So that's a 19 for Reek. Mir, what was your roll?
19.
Total. So 19's for both of you. Guy, what did you roll?
Natural one, but don't worry, I have plus 16 on wisdom. I'm just kidding.
Total. All right. So Guy, it's okay. You had your longbow out anyway. Hit too close. Like, longbow doesn't work up close. Mir and Reek, you can both make attacks of opportunity.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Go ahead and roll your attack.
25 Nine. To hit.
That definitely hits. Go ahead and roll damage.
14 points of damage.
Okay, so Reek, you reach out with your greatsword. Mir, roll your attack. So these both hit. Basically, Mir shivs in the kidney as Reek comes across the front of the chest with a greatsword. You guys pincer this poor blue-skinned alchemist between the two of you. Mir, go ahead and roll your damage.
It's 1d4 plus 3. Oh, lame. All right, 4.
So 18 points of damage total is more than enough to bring this person down. No crazy transformations this time. All right. Mir, it is now your turn. What would you like to do?
Okay, so reminding me, last time I heard you say there are lightning rods over here that I saw. I see Ernest over there, but I'm assuming he's coming around here. I'm going to try to make my way over toward this thing that keeps shocking the shit out of Falmar. And I'm going to step on her body. 2, 3. And then I want to see, is there like a control panel? Is there anything? I know that I'm kind of wasting my turns with all these perception things, but we need to disarm it. Is that okay?
You can do whatever you want, Mir.
Okay, I want to check it out one more time up close. Okay. Maybe an investigation roll if I could.
Yeah, investigation for sure. You make it with advantage because of your visor.
Okay. Marginally better, 9 plus 7.
So 16. Yeah. I mean, as you approach, you do not see a control panel, okay? At this point, this, whatever this is, it appears to be very much self-contained at this point. Like it is feeding itself. As you look at it, You see clearly now, as you're standing right next to one column, bright blue glow coming off of it, looking across past the storm on the other pedestal. It's clearly an egg that's bigger than you. And the lightning seems to be arcing across these two blue orbs through the cage, feeding the storm. Yes.
Is the egg just sitting on the pedestal, just sitting there?
At this point, it appears to just be sitting on the pedestal, yes.
May I ask Falmar if I can borrow his staff?
You may. I mean, you can definitely do that. Falmar, if you want to hand it to her, that would be your reaction.
Okay. I'm asking Falmar if he can hand me his staff.
Okay, cool. So Falmar hands it to you, and then what do you want to do?
If I have any more reaction, I'm going to... Because I'm not dumb, I know that wood is a good... it won't conduct electricity. That's why they make them out of... Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to try to, like, knock it off of the pedestal with the staff.
Okay. So... I think you can try that. Yeah, but it's going to be... It's actually going to be a strength check. As you hold the stick up and you start to try to push it, it's much heavier than you thought it was going to be.
Okay, so 16.
Okay, Mir is hulking out. Mir, what's your strength score?
Oh, my score, negative. It's 9.
It's 9. Okay. Well, hang on a second.
That was great. Negative.
I'm gonna say because of the situation, rather than trying to figure this out, because of the situation where you are a gnome, this thing is up on a pedestal a couple of feet above your head. You're coming at it with a big long stick and trying to push it. It weighs considerably more than you, so I'd like you to make this check with disadvantage.
You got it. But hopefully everybody is looking at me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so now you're making me have to pull out the book. The first check was a 16. The second check is an 18, even rolling with disadvantage. So that's going to be a 16. I need to see just how strong you are. So hang on one second while I confer with the deep lore here.
Yo, she's the strongest gnome you've
ever seen. Her character sheet says how much she can push, if that's what you're looking for.
That is, yeah. Okay, so 30 times her strength score. Yeah. So you watch as Falmar's staff actually flexes a bit and sort of seems to bow, and you kind of hold your tongue right and you get some leverage and you flip the egg off, and you watch as the lightning and it starts to slam into the pedestal, and it arcs and it's slower and slower, and you watch as the circuit is no longer complete and the storm starts to slow inside. And the lightning continues kind of spitting and sparking off of the other egg, but one of the storms out on the floor disappears. Mir, is there anything else you'd like to do with your turn?
I think that that's probably what I would be able to do.
Okay, so now it's Ernest's turn, and he says, well, that's one way to do it. Not quite what I was thinking. And Oz, you watch him as he steps over to this table and he reaches out and grabs one of those flasks that the guy threw at you. And he is just going to chuck it at the cage. That's a 16. So you watch as the alchemist fire collides with the edge of the cage. The jar breaks and the fire just... and it sort of spreads across the storm, where what you would expect to be some sort of, you know, cloud of vapor, it doesn't put the fire out. The fire clings to the metal and continues to burn. And Ernest will, that's his turn. Finn, you're up. What would you like to do?
All right. I am going to attempt to hit this guy with my mace again.
Okay.
There we go. 22 to hit.
That definitely hits. Go ahead and roll your damage.
4.
4 points of damage? Okay.
Yeah. And I believe that that is all I can do.
Okay.
Can I imbue mercy with Spare the Dying?
You can. Yep, absolutely.
All right, I'll do that just for security. And then... well, in my turn.
So your bonus action is to prepare mercy with... Okay, cool. I'm just making sure I understand.
I will move right here.
Okay.
Like, hey, Mir.
Cool. Perfect. Thank you, Finn. Reek, what would you like to do?
All right, I'm going to make my way... 5... 10... 15... And then I'm going to... swing at that dude right there.
Okay.
11.
Unfortunately, an 11 is not quite going to be enough to hit him, Rake.
That doesn't fucking hit. That's my
challenge. You guys watch as a distracted Rake, a generally distracted Rake, not quite at his best in this fight. He misses with his greatsword. Again, Oz, you're up. What would you like to do?
Is that construct still up?
This one here?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's standing on the floor.
Okay, well, I've seen it hurt my friends enough. I'm going to chuck a flame at it.
Okay, do it.
That's going to be a 21 to hit.
That will hit. Go ahead and roll your damage.
2 damage.
That will actually be enough to take it down. Okay. Anything else you want to do, Oz?
Oh, sorry, that's right. I can still do things. I'm going to move a little further away from that storm. Yeah, I'll just end here.
Okay. So then, Guy, it's your turn. What would you like to do?
Yeah, I'll move Hunter's Mark onto the one guy who's just north of Finn, please.
Okay.
Lightning sorcerer dude, whatever he is. Yeah, move Hunter's Mark onto him, and then I'm going to try to shoot an arrow at him with my longbow.
Do it. Roll it up.
Is there a way to put D&D Beyond into Dice Jail? Because that would be great. That's a 10!
Alright, so, yeah, unfortunately, a 10 is not going to hit.
That doesn't fucking hit.
Anything else you want to do, Guy? You still have your movement.
I just want to hit something. Guy continues to be useless and ends his turn.
Okay. Alright, so then that's going to bring up Mercy's turn. She doesn't see anyone dead, but she has all her movement and her instincts.
She's gonna stay on Guy and just kind of little bit of kitty biscuits. She sees that he's struggling.
So. Okay, cool. All right, so that'll bring us back around to Falmar. Falmar, what would you like to do?
Well, that egg is no longer there, so. Right,
it's on the ground. Yeah, it's on the ground. Totally. Yeah, thanks. Sorry, I forgot to move it.
Can I tell? Was it the egg that shocked me, or was it the arc?
You made such solid contact with the egg that you were not able to sort of lightning dance. Like, the reason why you didn't take damage the first time you attacked the egg is because you failed to hit it. And so now that it's not being hit by lightning, you really don't have any way to know. Yeah.
Okay, then I'm just going to start stomping on it again, because Finn's right there.
Okay.
Come on. Oh, too bad. That was a natural 20. On the dice, or on the book and on the table. Cool.
Okay, natural 20. All right, so definitely you can stomp it. Go ahead and roll your damage.
This will be with a d4 instead.
Yep.
Come on.
2d4, right? You rolled natural 20.
Oh, yeah. So that's a 3 plus 4 plus 4. So 11.
Okay.
And then okay. I'll bonus. Unless, is it destroyed?
Remind me how much damage it took last time. Do you remember? Like 10 points? 11 points?
I don't. Something like that, yeah.
It was a decent amount, yeah. So as you hit it, like, it definitely starts to crack in the way that, like, when, you know, you crack an egg, it can kind of, like, sink in, and it starts to sink in there, and there's a bit of still, like, a dim blue glow coming from inside of it.
Okay, then I'll attack it again. That time, it is a 12.
Okay, a 12, unfortunately, you sort of try to stomp it, and whatever's in there and kind of like it's getting slick on the outside and your foot just kind of slips off of it.
Okay, and that's all I do.
Okay, cool. Oz, did you want to say something?
I was going to ask, did it take any fall damage?
It did not. It's not 10 feet up.
Got it, thanks.
It's just the pedestal was taller than Mir.
The other pedestal is 10 feet up.
These pedestals, did I say they were 10 feet up?
The construct one, I think, was 10 feet up.
The construct, so this, yes, the thing the construct was climbing around on is actually like a stalactite.
Got it, thanks.
Sure enough. Okay, so as we come...
I think you said it was 8 feet, by the way.
As we come back around to the lair action, you watch as that last arc of lightning tries to strike and strike and... The last of the lightning dissipates, and another storm also disappears. And that brings the artillerist back around. He will use his bonus action to stoop down where the crystalline construct had been. You watch him whip out a set of tools with each hand and start to work on it. And when he rises back up, in its place now stands another small construct that looks very similar to the first one. And he will turn. Let's see. Does he have anything left? No, that is it. Okay. He will, with his action, pull out a dagger and try to stab you, Reek. Because you look in worse shape than Finn. So he's going to pull out a dagger and try to stab you. That's an 11 to hit. So he comes at you with the dagger. It's a much less... It's much less potent than what he's been throwing at you so far. It's kind of pitiful. You almost feel bad for him. Mir, that's going to be your turn now. What would you like to do?
I'm going to say very quickly to Falmar, this one's an omelet. That one, don't touch it until we can talk. And then I'm going to... I'm right in front of Mercy, so I'm going to step over onto this body. And yep. I'm going to... I have right now my daggers out. Okay. Well, I think I have one dagger out, and then in my other hand I'm holding a tool. Is that correct?
No, you had Falmar's staff with both hands to make check and knock
the egg down.
Yep.
Okay, so I must have dropped my dagger. All right, well, I don't know how to use staffs, so I'm going to drop that and draw my short sword.
Okay.
And then I'm going to swing out at this little guy.
The little turret?
Yes, please.
Okay. Yes, that is a 2 on the dice, so I think that's like a 9 for you.
7.
A 7 for you? Okay, yeah, unfortunately that does not hit. You reach out and it's small, you kind of pass through a couple of the parts of it, and don't solidly connect.
That doesn't fucking hit.
On Ernest's turn, he is going to dash back behind this and chill. Finn, it's your turn. What would you like to do?
Okay.
Finn, being the one that's closest to the cage, as the lightning has dissipated, you watch as the fire that Ernest threw on it does seem to be sort of eating away at the bars of the cage.
All right. Does the guy look rough at all?
He has taken a bit of damage. He does not look rough.
All right. Okay. If I am in melee and make a ranged spell attack, is it going to be at disadvantage?
It will.
All right, I'm just going to take a step back.
Okay.
And then I'm going to cast Guiding Bolt at...
As you step back, he will kind of swipe at you with his dagger. That's an 18 to hit.
That hits.
Take 2 points of piercing damage as he just shivs you real quick with the dagger as you back up.
All right. I'm going to cast Guiding Bolt first level.
Okay.
Natural 20. Oh my gosh. So that's going to be 8d6.
Yep.
You know what? And just for fun, I'm going to do it on the table.
Okay.
See who gets disconnected with all these dice.
Oh, I'm sorry, friends. 8. Josh is waving his hand. D6 plus nothing. Roll.
Oh, a lot of 2s. Couple of 1s.
But 2 6s, so 22 total.
22 points of damage. At this point... And a now familiar gesture as Finn holds up her hand and the dusk bolt of doom flies forth and slams into this human, whatever he is, standing before you. Reek, you see his chest seems to pulsate with this dull gray glow. He takes 22 points of damage. Finn, are you doing anything else with your turn?
That's all.
All right, Reek. It's your turn.
I have a question for you, DM.
Mm-hmm.
As a bonus action, can I drop this fucking awful sword and get my great axe?
You don't have to spend anything to do that.
Well, so
that
I'm going to fucking action. Throw this down and say, this is a piece of shit, and I'm going to grab my great axe and I'm going to swing at him.
Do it.
You have advantage.
You do have advantage because of Guiding Bolt.
There's got to be something wrong. Okay, 20 to hit.
That will definitely hit. Go ahead and roll your damage, Reek.
12 points of damage.
How do you want to do this?
Like, in rage, I want to throw that fucking Cyanrath sword off to the side, grab it off my back, and as I come down off my back, I just want to nail him right in the collarbone.
Okay, yeah, it's exactly what happens. You throw the sword, and it clatters off of the stalactite below you and bounces off and flies and slams into the side of the cage, sparking and sending lightning and sparks flying out in different directions. In the same motion, you bring your great axe down and basically separate his shoulder from his body. And with that, the construct in front of him also stops moving and seems to lose its whatever it is about it. And as you take in that things seem quiet, the storm slowing down further, ultimately dissipating. Let's go ahead and take our break, and we'll come back and take a look around in this room. All right?
Nice.
Sweet. Yeah.
Fuck those dice tonight.
Dude. The worst.
That was excellent, Jordan. This is my favorite battle that you have done, period.
Thanks, Jen.
That was tough.